Blog Talk Radio.
John B. Bring it on now. Let them feel where you come from.
Today, Miss Mocha, and I have Mario on the line today with us, my co-host, and we will have a guest co-host probably after the first commercial. Anyhow, tonight our guest is Joey Pinkney. I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, and I think he's online. Let me get him on. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, no problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're just going to dive right in. And tell us about what you do. I've been to your website. I see you on Twitter all the time. And what is it you have going, the five questions? 5 minutes,
yeah,
five questions.
Right, so it's called the JoeyPinkney.com 5 minutes, five questions with author interview series. That author interview series now features over 475 different author interviews, from New York Times bestsellers, Grammy Award winners, all the way down to like first-time self-published authors. It's been a labor of love over the years. I started August 2008, and I've been, you know, working on it as the years have gone by. I've been more and more consistent on, you know, bringing readers, you know, various talents in terms of books and publishers and authors and, you know, and different things. The author interview series is a real basic format. It's five questions. For the most part, the same five questions. Every once in a while, I'll, like, switch things up. But there's five basic questions that are asked of every author. And, you know, the cool thing is, it doesn't matter if the questions are the same, because each author's experiences are always different. Some people are more verbose than other authors, but it's, you got a real rich experience in terms of figuring out like what the backstory is to certain books and what kind of life experiences caused that book to come to fruition. One of the questions is how long did it take you to write the book, and and what is your writing process? And the answers to those two questions run the gamut from people. One person actually said that their original manuscript, which was written in a notebook, was actually burned in the backyard by her abuser. And it took her 10 years to regain the confidence to actually write that book, type it up, and actually get it published. And she's like on her fourth book now. We have other people that are like, have been imprisoned, and, you know, just to pass the time, they've started writing short stories and saying, hey, I can write books better than what I've been reading. And other people say, hey, why don't you do it then? And, you know, a month later, they have a manuscript. Some people have started off blogging their ideas and thoughts, and then just, you know, over time, people have started to gravitate towards them. And then next thing you know, they're just like, I can make this into a book and further, you know, expose readers to it. So the cool thing about that author interview series is that it really started off being a vehicle to actually give black authors a chance to be heard a chance to have a media outlet that they don't normally have access to, because for a long time, even though street fiction and urban lit were extremely popular, there was more to black literature than those two things. And I'm not downplaying that, because I actually do, one of my favorite genres is urban lit. But what I noticed in terms of media coverage, it wasn't that many outlets, or not many outlets that I knew of. So one of the things that I want to do with all the interview series is actually allow authors a chance to actually speak about their books and talk about what makes them tick as an author, what makes the books what they are. And it's been real interesting, because even now it's expanded. It's starting to expand past just being black authors. Still have, I would say a majority of the authors that I interview are black, and they are American, but now I'm starting to get Caucasian authors. I'm starting to get, right now, like, I think out of the last 10 author interviews I've done, I have, when I say last 20, I've had a person from a small town in Australia, somebody from Ireland, somebody from England. I've had a bishop that is, he's an international bishop, but he's based in Zimbabwe, but his headquarters is in the UK. So having that international variety of authors has, like, really expanded my readership, too, because now I'm starting to get readers from different countries to actually look at my author interview series, which is further exposing African-American authors to a global readership.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I really like that because sorry to cut you off, but I really like that because with the advent of this new wave of publishing, with ebooks being a trend, well, more than a trend now, but actually being like a viable asset to authors in terms of getting their books into the in front of readers, me actually having this website can be a real critical key in order to gain a large readership without having to travel the world to do so.
Wow, this is really good. I'm enjoying this. I was like, how am I going to interview the interviewer? So many that you've done. I just glanced at your website again before the show, and I'm like, wow, okay. So tell me how you even got started with this. Like,
well, back in 2006, actually before 2006, you know how it is. Some people, they get addicted to the internet. They get addicted to, like, being in forums or checking out websites. Like, I'm an information junkie, so I like to read stuff. And stuff that I think I can halfway apply, I might not necessarily go follow through on applying it, but I like to read a lot of nonfiction type stuff, like a lot of psychology stuff and business stuff and news articles and stuff like that. So the internet is perfect for that, because you can do all that stuff. It's kind of like having every library in the world and then some right there in your house on the computer. So I just started trying to find a way to actually find that intersection between something instructive that I can still do that's still interesting, you know. So when I started my website, joyfinger.com, in 2006, one thing that I was doing was, I wrote books about pit bulls. I wrote books about acne prevention, weight loss.
I saw that on the website.
Yeah. So I was kind of like all over the place, but my main true love is books. I love book covers. I love different authors. I love different genres. Well, most genres. I can't say I love all genres, but, you know, I do love the concept of the book. You know, the person, they actually use their imagination, some of their life experiences, some of the research, and they pull it all together into a captivating story that they don't necessarily have to tell it to you. But they can, you know, they can live thousands of miles away, but you can actually read that book and step into a totally different world. So that's going to always be one of my main loves. And what I did was eventually I was like, why don't I try to do book reviews? The thing about doing book reviews is, for me, it takes me, I'm a fairly fast reader, but when you read and write and you have to edit and make sure that what you write is actually understandable to somebody else, that you don't have the opportunity to actually clarify certain things, it takes a little bit longer. And I started with, like, Urban Book Source and CB Book Distribution. I used to do book reviews for them. And while I was doing book reviews, I noticed that I really enjoyed it, but it took sometimes a week to actually write a good book review. And what happened was I ended up begging dozens of authors, you know, to let me review that book. And a lot of them thought I was just trying to get a book for free. And so a lot of them didn't really pick up on it because they started seeing those reviews start to trickle out. And at one point, I was getting like 3 or 4 books a week. And I was just getting avalanche. I had like a laundry basket full of books. And if you can imagine, that probably weighed about 60, 70 pounds. You know, it was a lot of books. And I started thinking, I was just like, there's got to be a quicker way to get the information from the author and get it back out there. And that's where the interview series came from. One day I was just like, I tell you what, we're going to do a mini interview. Somebody asked me, like, yeah, I want you to review my book. I want you to read it, this and that. And I was like, you know what? I'm so behind on book reviews, but I've been touring around with this idea. Would you like to do an interview? And he was like, yeah. And so when I started getting book review requests, I started sending, replying back with, would you like to do an interview? And prior to starting doing that, I started like thinking like, what are like some basic questions that readers, writers, publishers, book lovers, what are some of the 5 basic things or, you know, that people would like to know about a book, or what would I like to know about a book? So I came up with the 5 basic questions. You know, like what makes your books different from the other person? What was your inspiration in writing the book? Like, what initiated that? How is your promotional methods, you know, your book exposure methods actually helping you out? Like, what are you doing to promote your book? What's your writing process? How long does it take? And what's next for you? What, you know, what do you have on the horizon? None of you done this book. Do you have any other books in the works? And came up with a format, and it took a while to actually tweak the whole, get the requests, send the questions out, and get the answers and format it. And so over the years, it's like a work in progress. There's always something changing. I'm always pulling something out, putting something else in, and kind of tweaking it here and there. And that instead of like writing about various subjects like back acne and weight loss and Thanksgiving parties and, you know, just being all over the place, I started to slowly focus on, how about we do author interviews? How about we take authors and give them a chance to show the readers what their book is about, how their book came about being, and what is on the horizon for that author. You know, and it's helped a lot of different people, because I've had people say, you know, I've looked at your website, and, you know, I've been a closet writer, you know, I got stuff that I'll be writing and stuff, and I've read so-and-so's interview, and that gave me the confidence, because I can relate to that interview, because I was the same way. You know, somebody died in my family, and the only way to cope was just writing my diaries. And I noticed I had a lot of stuff. I let people read my diary. They're like, girl, this is a great book. You should put this out. And that's the same thing she said. And she has a book out now. She's on she's on your website. And I've seen her a couple different places. So I'm going to do the same thing. So, you know, to actually go from somebody who was actually begging people to read their book to actually starting to get paid to do this, you know, and keep it going is a true blessing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Wow. You're really doing it. I must say, you are really doing it and doing it very well. We're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, co-host has a few, I know he has one question he wants to ask.
Sure.
So we'll be back.
Smile on your face. Don't let your friends go. messing with your mind.
No, no.
Girl, you know there ain't nothing I won't do for you. And baby, don't ever doubt my love gonna
tonight. Our guest is Joey Pinkney.
It's Pinkney like your knee is pink.
Pink, okay. I was wondering, yeah. I was hoping I was pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
Okay. And my co-host, Mario, is on the line. Mario?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Joey?
Doing good, Mario. How you doing, man?
I'm actually not doing good at all. I'm actually sick right now. But I just had to come on the show and tell you, you're doing an awesome job, and we appreciate you coming on the show. And I looked at a lot of things you had done as far as the interview process, and one book kind of stood out to me, and that was the one about Seed of a Satan. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I pretty much wanted to ask you, when you sat down and you read the book and you wanted to get your questions together for this book, what drove you to ask the question about, let me look at it right now, it was the question I was reading.
One thing to keep in mind is, I don't necessarily read the book. Like, I haven't read that book. I send them the questions, and then
okay.
they answer those questions.
Okay.
So,
right.
so the question
she
got... Yeah, the question she got is the question that most of the authors get. And that's one of the things I like about it, because based on the subject of the book, you'll never get the same answers. You know, if you go back
right.
through the archives, you'll see tons of different types of answers for the same questions. That's one of the beauties of it.
Oh, okay. Because
yeah.
I was
yeah.
looking at the question when you said, what's that seed of Satan, like, apart from, you know, like, from pretty much any book that... similar to that book title itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know, like,
I think Leonard Brown. I'm sorry, man. What'd you say?
No, I was just saying, I just wanted to know, like, what. Because that was the question I would ask myself, like, because we talking about Satan, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to ask you that question, because when she answered the question, I wanted to know what was your feedback of her asking that question.
You know what? When I read that, I thought that was a real good answer to the question I asked her, because when you see Satan in the title, you automatically think that it's, you know, the person that would write a book like that is demonic. But she's actually extremely Christian. You know, she's well founded a Christian. One of the things she talks about is that one of the things that she learned from being in church and the pastor that she has is that there's spiritual warfare going on a level that we don't see with our physical eyes. And you know, being a prayer warrior and being astute in spiritual warfare is something that's just as critical for a Christian as praying and paying tithes. And I thought it was real interesting, because one of the things that she talked about in that particular book, because I've actually interviewed her twice for this book series, because that's the second book in the book series, Invisible Enemies. One thing that Linda talks about is that that book really, The Seed of Satan, is really more so about the Nephilim, which is talked about in Genesis 6, I think 14, where it talks about the giants that were having children. They were actually angels, but they was actually having children with human women, and the offspring were like half angelic, half human, so they weren't full human, but they were humongous. And she was really talking about the spirit of a spirit coming down and actually procreating with a woman and actually having a child that is not fully human, and what effect does that have on a family, what effect does it have on society at large. One thing about her is, like, if you read the first interview I did with her, the first book in that series is called Invisible Enemies. One thing she talks about is that she really got into the whole doing horoscopes and doing tarot cards and stuff like that. And so one of her coworkers actually asked her, So you are a pagan, so you deal in witchcraft, you do black magic. She was like, no, I deal with white magic. And she explained everything. And I forgot the title of the two books that her coworker handed her. But after reading those books, she totally denounced, you know, doing horoscopes and tarot cards and stuff like that. And it really drew her closer to being a strong Christian. And one thing that she wanted to cover in her books were things that weren't necessarily covered in the standard fare for Christian fiction. So although on the outside looking in, some of her titles and some of the subject matter that she covers looks controversial, upon further inspection, you kind of see that, you know, that they have a place, and it's extremely interesting to actually see somebody who has done research to actually, you know, incorporate that into fiction in a way that we can all, you know, kind of gain more knowledge about it.
Wow. Wow. Whew, okay. I have another co-host that is joining me today, DeAndrea.
Okay.
DeAndrea?
Yes.
Hi. Do you have any questions for Joey?
Hi, Joey. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm telling you, I've looked over your interviews, and I've looked at the Backney series, and I think that you have done some awesome, awesome work, and I just commend you for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's awesome to have someone out here that's giving a voice to those who, like you said, are not in the mainstream of publishing houses and magazines and different things like that. So it's awesome to see someone working for the man, not the poor man, but the man that doesn't have a way to get out to those big places just yet.
Right, right. Because, I mean, you know, when you look at it, you write a book, it can be extremely hard finding your target market. It can be extremely hard finding cost-effective ad avenues, publicity. You know, that stuff can, you know, get pretty expensive, and end up paying to publish. And one thing that I try to do is kind of keep everything cost effective, and I also try to make sure that it's interesting, you know. And I try to find new ways to get the word out about these different books and about these different authors to readers around the world. And it's kind of cool for it to develop, see it develop over time. So I appreciate your encouraging words.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I see that you have interviewed many, many, many authors, and just out of curiosity, is there any one author that has stood out for you or that has been an inspiration to you that is, you know, head and shoulders above the rest that you can comment on?
Let's see, some of my more interesting author interviews, I wouldn't necessarily say they're head and shoulders above the rest, but, you know, that can get a little sticky because people end up emailing me. I thought I was your favorite author. But I would say I was contacted by one of the guys from The Wire who used to act in The Wire. And I did an author interview with him, and I actually got to speak with him personally before and after doing the interview, just to kind of get his takes on being an actor in the industry and going to industry events and stuff like that. So that was real cool. I came across another author in California who actually co-writes with Faith Evans. And she has a trade-off for me to actually review her book and actually, you know, do a book review and post it on Barnes & Noble and Amazon and stuff like that. As a trade-off, she said, I'll get you an interview with Faith Evans. And I was just like, for real? Yeah, cool, let's do it. So, you know, actually got Faith Evans as a part of this author interview series. Recently,
wow.
I think one of the more interesting interviews that I've done, it's two that stand out, right? Well, all the author interviews I do are interesting to me on some level, but I thought
right.
One that really stand out was Heath Samples. Actually, just I think I posted his interview most recently, or maybe
mm-hmm.
No, he's the second most recent interview that I posted. He's a guy. He lives in England. He was part of the Royal Air Force, and
mm-hmm.
He's a history buff, and he really liked Princess Diana. When she died, he took a different take on the book. Instead of writing about her past and writing about her death and stuff like that, he kind of wrote a what if book. He was like, what if she lived? What would she be doing now? You know, how would she change history in terms of British history, global history? Because even though she had divorced Prince Charles, she was a public figure. She had her own
identity.
She had her own momentum going. Yeah, her own identity.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and so if she would have survived or not even been in that car crash, what impact would her identity have not only on Britain but also the world? And so he wrote that book, and that's the only book. If you do the research, that's the only book that actually talks about her potential future as opposed to her past. You know, so that was real interesting that he actually came out with that. And I kind of met him. I met him on Twitter. He asked, you know, what do I do? And I kind of told him, I was like, hey, I can send you the information if you want. I do the author interviews. You know, I charge $25 for the service because it's not, I don't just post the interviews on my website and just let them sit. I actually, 24/7, I'm constantly putting out social media updates to Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn. I'm making video snippets, posting on YouTube, posting on Daily Motion. Meta Cafe, like all these, you know, I'm doing a whole bunch of back end stuff to try to get people to come to the website and see it, and you know, and then also like with me having like 39,000 followers on Twitter, when I put something out there, it's potentially can be retweeted by anybody in the world, you know, so it's kind of cool that whole synergistic effect can be gained just from being, you know, being a part of the interview series. Told him about all that stuff, and he was like, okay, and he asked me a couple of questions, and next thing you know, we were in business. You know, I got the stuff done for him. So he was real interesting. Also, there's an interview by an author named Nasira, and her book is, let's see, what's the title of her book? The title of her book is Kidra. And what I found interesting about that, like in reading the interview, one of the things she actually talks about is there's not a lot of black authors there are not a lot of books that are well known by black authors that cover vampire fiction, you know, like fiction with like vampire, werewolf, paranormal, stuff like that. But instead of just writing about vampires and just making the vampire black, she actually took it a step further where she actually like did the research on what was the real theme of the story of Dracula.
And right, the origin.
And she was like, what she came up with was that the true theme of that story was that vampires, in terms of humans' perception of vampires, was that they couldn't be respected. They couldn't show love and actually really love somebody. And they were always denied that because they were vampires. And she wanted to kind of pick up back on the original thing about vampires, as opposed to talking about the gory stuff. She's like, there's gore and stuff, there's blood and people getting bitten and stuff, but really it's a love story. It's a story about being denied the ability to love, but she took the twist even further and made the vampire actually have a African child that when another vampire falls in love with her and she denies him love, that other vampire actually says about to, he's like, either you're gonna love me or I'm gonna kill you, one or the other. And her parents, her African parents, end up sending her to America. She becomes this well-respected concert pianist. And, you know, and the vampire ends up, like, destroying the village, and he comes to America, and he's trying to pursue her, and she's on the run from him. But, I mean, that's a story that you don't necessarily come across if you go to Barnes & Noble. That's the story you don't come across in just general conversation. But I think it would be real interesting, you know, like, how many black vampires that you know of, you know, and she talked about it. She was like, you know, you got Vampire in Brooklyn, you know, the movies like Blackula, Vampire in Brooklyn, and stuff like that. But what kind of serious intellectual look at vampire culture, black culture, and put them together? What kind of books do we really have about that? And it's not that many. I'm not saying that she is the only one, but, you know, she actually adds to the genre as opposed to trying to piggyback on its success. So I think that's real interesting, you know.
Yeah, and you know what it is about the ones that are interesting. You know, we've interviewed several authors, and, you know, one that always sticks out for a black writer space is Monique Smith. in her story, you know, about being an abducted child and, you know, not knowing her real mother and, you know, being raised by her abductees and how she has, you know, she wrote a book and, I mean, she's got charitable works going on. And, I mean, that story, I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't speak about her and how awesome, you know, of a person just talking to her, how you're just inspired, you know, just because of her story and her strength and, you know, the tenacity that she has to continue on. So, you know, it's always a story that will stick with you or stay with you or something that's interesting. And so we do have some more questions for you. I have a million. I know Tiffany does too. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to ask you some more questions on the other side and take some calls from some callers, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
We'll be right back. We are back with our guest today, Joey Pinkney. I think I get it right. That's how.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, are you there?
I am. Joey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, another question I have for you is, now you kind of touched on it, if a writer, an author wanted to, you know, have you do the 5-minute interview or to feature them, what would they have to do and what would the fee be? Like, is there a length of time that you focus on them, or how does that exactly go?
Yeah, basically, the basic rundown is this. They get in contact with me. You know, I send them the information. If they decide to do so, I include a way for them to pay me through PayPal. And the cool thing about PayPal is you can pay check, debit, credit, or with your PayPal account. So you don't necessarily have to have a PayPal account. But once that's completed, I send them a link to the author interview submission form. And that form has all the information I need to create the interview. So it'll ask you all the questions. Title of the book, who the publisher is, the author name, has places on there where you can actually put in your Twitter account, Facebook account, other social media accounts, your website. It allow you to upload your face, your headshot, and also upload the book cover. And once you submit that, normally I get it up and running within like 72 hours, because sometimes I have people ahead or sometimes I'm doing other things, but normally like within... It's within like on realistically, it's done within 24 hours, but I always give myself a little double cushion just in case I go out of town or something else pops up, or if I have a lot of them that come in at the same time, you know, I get up there within 72 hours. Now, in terms of doing the social media aspect of it, I run those updates like every 20 minutes round the clock, you know, as much as possible. What I normally do is I tend to keep those slots reserved for the last 10 people that I've interviewed.
Okay.
So once you become the 11th person that I've interviewed, then you get taken out and the most recent person gets put into your slot. That can be as quick as 10 days. For most people, they see their stuff being on repetition for about like 2, maybe sometimes 3 weeks, because I don't necessarily get off the interviews back to back to back every single day. So sometimes it lapses where 2 or 3 days I might not post off the interview, which means that your interview is actually going to stay in rotation for longer. Now, in terms of it being on my website, it's going to be there as long as the website is there.
Okay.
You know, so I don't take them off. You can always go into the search engine and, you know, put your name in or put an author's name in or a keyword or something. It'll pull up that interview. Or you can just kind of flip through the archives and kind of find your interview. So it's always going to be there. I try to highlight the most recent 10 or 11 interviews on the home page.
Mm-hmm.
Once you become like that 11th person, you kind of go back to the second page. So I try to keep the most recent stuff on the front page. But, you know, it stays up there. I've had people, like, after they go out of rotation, another service that I offer that I haven't highlighted, but when people contact me, sometimes I let them know that if you want to get, let's say I interviewed you and you stay in rotation, and I'm doing a heavy promotion for you for, you know, let's say 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden you notice that you're not getting those tweets anymore, you're not getting the shout-outs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What I've given authors that I've interviewed in the past the option to pay $10, and what I would do is leave their social media updates in queue for another 30 days.
The cool thing about that is
it's actually gained some positive effects. Like the last 3 people that have done that, I've actually sold books for them through my website. Whereas like the first time around, it really didn't catch on. But then afterwards, you know, it started to, you know, people started buying books because they started seeing it for a longer period of time. So, you know, it kind of works out.
Now, one cool thing I noticed is that even when you go to your website and you, even if you just want to get information about you and you try to go onto that that author submission form, you have to have a password. That's something I've never seen before. So that just goes to show, you know, how much you're on your business.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get the random author interview from somebody who's like, hey, I like to do that. Okay. You know, well, it's people that actually pay their dues to get in. And, you know, I'm working for them. So, you know, I like to work for you, too. But you'll get all that stuff once we get the business part handled. You know,
right.
I mean, it really is a business because I'm not just posting stuff on my website and just letting it sit there. You know, like I'm constantly talking to different readers about the book. You know, I'm constantly putting it out there. I'm actually creating videos for the book. I'm posting those videos everywhere. And, like, if you actually do a Google search for any of the author's book titles, a lot of times I'm on their front page. Even if and a lot of times I'm ranked higher. My interview is ranked higher than the actual author's website.
Wow.
Because you know, I've been doing it so long, the search engines have really picked up on what I'm doing. And sometimes they'll show up in Google within hours of me actually posting it.
You know,
like I'm constantly having Google update my information. So, like, if I posted something right now, probably within 15 minutes to 45 minutes, if you actually search for the title in Google, it'll show you the post that I just put up. You know, so being on my website is actually, for a lot of people, beneficial because it actually gains them exposure that they wouldn't have otherwise, you know.
Absolutely.
Maybe what they're doing, all you got to do is just piggyback off what I'm doing, you know. Like, I sit down, I post it, you know, I'm putting this stuff on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, you know, I'm making a video, I'm putting that on all these different places, and that's less work that you would have to do as an author if you're trying to promote your book, you know.
Absolutely.
That's one less thing that you would have to do to try to figure out, how am I going to create this, how am I going to get this out, how am I going to get the word out. You don't have to worry about that. That's what I'm here for.
Now, can you tell us any of your authors that have made it to the Joey Pinkney bestsellers list, you know, authors that have gained exposure through you and have had, you know, good or tremendous success with the book sales?
One that stands out is an author named Madison. She wrote a series called, let me see, what was the name of that series? Give me a second. I know that when I posted hers, it actually, when I posted reviews of her book on like Amazon and all these other places, book clubs actually were buying her books by the dozen.
Wow.
And I was just like, whoa, that's incredible. Let me see if I can find it. Another person that actually had the same success was this guy. He wrote a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And basically what he did was he wrote a book about his experience in the food industry. He actually worked for a restaurant chain that he sued for a couple $1 million and actually won.
Wow.
And so part of the lawsuit was that he couldn't talk about them specifically in his book, but he can kind of tell about the experience. And like one thing he was doing, like he was going through and he was actually making the store profitable. So what they were doing, they were just flipping them from store to store to store to store instead of letting them move up in the company, become like an area manager, a district manager, a vice president. They were keeping on the store managerial level. And, you know, he pretty much was married to the store. He sometimes had to open and close the store because the store was not profitable. Sometimes, you know, there was a district that wasn't, it had like a couple of bad apples. And he would always some kind of way have those stores to manage, and he would have to go in and whip everything into shape. And once he got them back up to shape, those stores started to be passed out to other managers who didn't really put in the work that he put in. And so, you know, and the stress levels of having to deal with that, and then he was dealing with, like, racial issues with the people that was over him, like they was cracking racist jokes, or, like, they'll, like, sometimes in his face. And by him going through that, it really caused him a lot of stress, you know, it caused him, like, psychotic problems. Psychological problems, yeah. And when I did the book review for his book, people were actually buying the book from my website, like tens at a time. I guess it was like business classes or book clubs or something were buying his books. But they were actually like buying his books. Like a lot of times when people buy books, they buy them sporadically. And obviously they'll buy one book. But this is people like paying for a $15 book and paying that times 10, so they were like laying down $150 on Amazon just to have his book based off my book review. And you know,
so book sales, you helped him increase his book sales by what would you say if you had to put a number?
Over the lifetime of that, of me actually, since I've actually reviewed his book and posted on my website, I'll say I probably sold maybe about 40 or 50 books.
Wow, that's absolutely fabulous.
And keep in mind, that's not typical. You know, that's not typical. I wouldn't say that's typical at all. It's just that his book, I was totally amazed by his book. And I did a real heartfelt review of his book. And I think a lot of people are actually feeling the passion I was feeling. I was just like, you really have to read this to actually really understand how it's hard to break through that quote-unquote glass ceiling. Like, he actually had a glass ceiling. Like, a lot of times, like, oh, that's not real. You know, you work hard and... This guy was actually he was turning stores around. He was turning stores that they was actually having to pay at the end of the fiscal year. They was actually having their store in operation at a deficit. He was actually making stores profitable, and he was increasing productivity, company morale, customer morale. Because that's one thing he covers in the book. Because it's not all about how profitable your store is. It's also about how the customers feel about your store and what would make them want to come back to it. And, you know, he was turning the whole culture around for some of these stores and still wasn't getting the recognition that he deserved. So, you know, they was kind of gaining that from my book review, and I guess they were just like, this is a perfect gift to hand out. The other author I was talking about, Madison, she has a series called Scattered Lies. And, I was totally blown away by the first book and the second book. I'm actually in the process of reading. I'm way behind on doing a review on the third book in that series, but absolutely magical.
And it's called what again?
It's called Scattered lies.
Okay.
And I mean the plot twist in it, and the different characters, and every character has their own voice and their own life that they're living, and it's, you know, it's all kind of they're all interrelated. It's not like an artificial, like, you know, you can kind of figure out what's going on from page to page. You really can't,
mm-hmm.
and you really don't see how they're related, even from book to book, unless you actually like read from the beginning to the end, you know, because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those things where you can like casually like glance through it and skip paragraphs and skip dialogue. You actually have to read all this stuff because it's significant as the story builds. And she's had a lot of contact from book clubs and other websites to do author interviews and book reviews based on my review. And that's one of the things that her publisher told me. Her publisher was just like, yo, whatever you do, man, keep doing it, because we've had a great response, and we can directly attribute it to your posting, because we asked people, like, how did you hear about my book? And they
mm-hmm.
said, joeypinkney.com. And I was just like, that's great. Yeah. I've even had a reader. I have a couple of loyal readers that are, you know, read my stuff and comment and email me from time to time. And actually had her tell me that she was at a book fair or a book expo somewhere in California, and she was like, she came up on an author, and the guy tried to introduce themselves, and she was like, oh, no, I already know who you are. I've seen this book on joeypinkney.com, so I kind of got an idea of who you are. And
well,
that's incredible, you know. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, to actually get that email, that's so inspirational to me. That's the type of stuff that keeps me going, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
how cool is it that you actually, you know, you're constantly putting books out. How cool is it that those two people met, and before they even meet, she actually mm-hmm. seen that person's book on my website, you know.
And that's a direct testimony to you as well, and to show that you're, you know, how passionate you are about your work, and how much you really put into, you know, each author, that you give to each author. And, you know, when someone comes to you and brings their life work, because let's be honest, you know, you sit down and write a book, that's your baby, that's your project. And to turn that over to someone, you know, you're trusting them. So that just shows that, you know, you are trustworthy, that you do what you promised to do. And, again, that's just a direct testimony to how passionate you are about your work. So, again, I think that what you're doing is awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to turn you back over to Tiffany, because I know she has questions for you, and I'm just taking up all of your time.
Hey, no problem.
It's been wow. Okay. I just have two questions. Your plans, no, let's do the other one first. Since you've written about so many topics, what are some of the topics that we can look forward to in the future?
One thing I'm going to start making a point to cover, I'm going to keep doing my author interviews, and that's going to always be there, because I really, it's so many different authors out there, and readers are looking for stuff you can't find in Barnes & Nobles, or sometimes you don't come across them on Amazon, so I'm going to keep that consistent. But something I plan on adding in the near future, and I've kind of toyed around with, I've written one article right now, but looking at the change in how the publishing industry is starting to transform into less paper and more e-books, you know, because you got all these e-book readers that are out there.
Right.
You have these different e-book formats. You got the stuff that you got with Apple. You know, you got the Apple bookstore, you got the Google bookstore, you got Kindle, you got Kobo, Nook, and all this kind of stuff, the Sony e-book reader. And what I want to start doing is actually covering, like, how this stuff is actually affecting us as readers and how it's affecting us as writers, because there is a greater profit to be gained by readers. I mean, by readers and writers, but it's a better, a higher profit to be gained by writers that's right at their fingertips. You know, like, for the longest, the Internet has been an equalizer for a lot of people. It's been able to allow you to connect yourself with different readers, like I said earlier, without having to travel the world to do so. And what effect does that have on, like, your relationship with publishers or self-publishing? What effect does it have on the profitability of even publishing now? Because, you know, a lot of people crack jokes like, oh, anybody, any moment can publish a book. And that might not necessarily be a bad thing, because the cream is going to always rise to the top. You know, so even if there's a ton of terrible books out there, you got millions of readers that can easily download that book, and they'll tell you word of mouth is still a powerful thing. You know, they'll tell you whether the book is good or not, and the good books are going to still continue to rise. But how do you ride that wave as an author and make the most profit off of it? You know, like back in the day, it used to be you had to when you publish a book before ebooks became a craze. I mean, came the craze. You would have to like consider how many books do I need to get printed up, because the more books I get printed up, the lower the cost for each book on a per book basis. But where am I going to keep all those books? I don't have a distribution channel as a self-published author. You know, I don't have a lot of money to store them somewhere. I don't have a lot of space in my house to be trying to buy 3,000 books and have this semi-tractor trailer pull up to my house, and here I am, like, lugging all these books into the garage. Now I can't park my car in the garage. I got 3,000 books, and then how am I going to sell them? How am I going to get them? You know, it's just like, it can be a nightmare. Flip side is... flip side is I buy 100 books, you know, and I run out of them quickly, but I'm also making less profit off of each book, because a 100-book print run per book is going to cost you more than a 1,000 print book run, you know. But now you got ebooks on it, you know, you got Kindle. I mean, it's some people that only publish books on Kindle, and that's definitely not a bad thing, because they don't have to, as a writer, they don't have to keep 1,000 books in their closet somewhere. They don't have to wait on a publishing company to wait. Like, a lot of time, a publishing company, like the big six publishing companies that are in New York, a lot of times they have a lead time before they will actually publish a book. So you probably won't, by the time you actually see the book on Amazon and the bookstores and stuff like that, it's been ready for like 6 months. But they've been doing all the behind the scenes stuff with, you know, trying to get printers in order and trying to get the different bookstores ready to take these books, and then, you know, you send them like you send a bookstore like 100 books, and they only sell 30. And so here they are pulling the cover, you know, the front cover off the book to send back to you as unsellable, you know. And so now, as an author, your advance is actually your advance is paid off by your book sales. Mm-hmm. And so now that means that you won't see another dime from that publishing company until you actually sell the equivalent amount of books to the profit that you made off of your advance.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that. You know, like with e-book publishing, you don't have to worry about that now. There's a woman named Amanda Hawking that actually she made $2 million 1 year off of e-books.
Wow.
Her price anywhere from $99 to $299. You know, but she sells tons of them. But she has a huge readership. She has a huge fan base. And she's grown it because she's, you know, she started off, she writes, you know, she will write, like, snippets of her book on a website as she's creating her book on the back end. And once she actually got enough material for a book, she will actually take all the posts down off the website and point to her main page where she will actually sell the finished product. And so these people have been going through her blog every day, every other day and whatnot. And they kind of get in tune with the story, and all of a sudden the story gets snatched away from them in that form, but it's been put together in the book form. They can go straight to Kindle and download the whole book, completely edit it, and since they already know her and have a feel for the characters and are involved, she's getting tons of sales. She got to a point where she's actually signed a 4-book deal for, I think, $2 million. Because she said, I want to do more writing, and I want to do less of the back end of the accounting and all this kind of stuff. But mind you, she was a millionaire before she even signed that deal, but it was based off of e-books, you know. And there's other authors, they're clearing like $20,000, $30,000 a month off of the books that they have available on Kindle and Nook and all that kind of stuff. So in terms of what I'm going to be doing in the future with my website, those are the type of things I want to kind of bring to light. Like, how are they doing it? You know, what are they doing to get it done? And I think that'll be an asset also to the readers and the writers that are part of my own website.
Absolutely.
Wow. That is really awesome. And see, that's where I'm trying to take this. That's good. There's people saying no money out here. There's money out here to be made.
It is. It's so many people. Everybody got smartphones. Everybody got these iPads, book readers, iPhones. Everybody got computers nowadays. And now, you don't have to lug around a paper book. You know, sometimes, if you're a real reader, sometimes you may have 3 or 4 books on you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of clumsy to have them books in your purse or in your backpack or even in your hand. But now, you know, with ebooks, you can load tons of ebooks on your smartphone or on your ebook reader. So now the whole me carrying a bunch of books around thing is kind of negated. You know, now it's just like, how many books do you want? You know,
right.
And at 99 cents, $1.99, $2.99, you ain't killing yourself like when you buy. If you spend $15 on a book, you're gonna want that book to be good.
Yeah.
You know, just straight up and down, you're gonna want that book to be good. But if you spend $1.99, $0.99, you're not gonna be. You're still getting that same value, but you're not necessarily killing yourself over. You know, you're not thinking, all right, am I gonna eat or am I gonna buy this book? You know, it's not that big of a deal now, but you're still getting the same quality. And for the author, what I've seen is, sure, they might not be making as much profit on a per-book basis, but it's a ton easier to sell 1,000 books at 99 cents than it is to sell 100 books at $15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you end up seeing the profit on the back end where you're selling more volume. You might be making less profit per book. But, you know, those books, those e-books can be downloaded anytime. You know, you physically have to, you know, you buy a book, either you had to see that person at a book signing, or you got to, you know, you buy it from Amazon or something like that, you got to wait on it to get shipped to you. Those e-books, you know, you download, and next thing you know, you get an email saying, hey, here's your e-book, you know, how you want it. And that's within minutes, you know. So it's the whole idea of the publishing industry is changing right now. That's one of the things I want to start bringing the light and covering with people in a realistic way so they kind of see, you know, what's really going on.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I know at 99 cents, I buy about 10 of them. That's
$10. Yeah. Then you got all these free e-books out there, and they're actually pretty good books. You know, like if you look on, like, Twitter, if you put in, like, free e-book or free Kindle e-book, you'll find people that are actually, like, posting their whole novels for free. They just, you know, just want to gain a reach. Or it might be, like, a sale going on where it was $1.99, but now for, like, a week, we're going to let you download it for free. And both people win because you get a book, you don't have to pay for it, and if you actually like that book and you like the author, you might, now that you've had a chance to experience that, you might go out and buy those other books at $9.99. I mean, not $9.99, but $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reader, they win. I mean, the writer, they win because now by giving that book away for free and not necessarily have to come out of pocket because this book was printed for $4 or $5, and now I'm, like, losing $4 or $5 in order to get you as a reader, they're not losing anything when you download their e-book because it doesn't cost anything, and they're not coming out of their pocket for you to download a file. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win situation all the way around.
Plus, they gain a fan base, so the next book that the reader will be hungry for, and they'll want to pay the money for it. So that is a smart marketing idea.
Yeah, they won't even mind paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I read a real good book that's free, and I really like the author, and let's say that was the first book in the series, and I really want to know, like, how these characters are going to develop over time, like, what are these characters doing in the next book based on what I read in the first book, I wouldn't mind, you know, at this point, it's almost like if you divide the cost of those books, since you got the first one free and you paid $1.99 for the second book, really you just pay like $1 a book. You know what I'm saying? Like when you average out the cost, you got the first one free, second one for $2, two books, $1 each. You can't lose with that.
Okay, well, Joey, we're going to go ahead and take a break right now and give our callers a chance to get ready to call in. Hopefully we have some with some questions for you, and we'll be right back, okay?
Sounds good.
All righty.
In my life, and I'm tired of being undercut.
We are back, and we have a really, really, really enjoyed our guest today, Joey Pinkney. And, wow, he has amazed me with his endeavors. These interviews, he's boosting book sales, and wow. Well, Joey, I just want to say thank you so much for even taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit with us today and talk to us. Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know?
It's a couple things. One is that I've been in the process of writing this novel for way too long. I started like about 2 years ago, but life things have gotten in the way, and procrastination has gotten in the way. But I'm in the process of writing a book. I'm actually a published author also. I've been in the Soul of a Man anthology, which is published by Peace in the Storm Publishing. The publisher's name is Elisa Gabrielle. Had to give her a major shout out because she really gave me the impetus to actually. She gave me an outlet to actually be published. You know, So I'm definitely indebted to her, and I really have to give her props on everything that she does. She did a thing where she took 13 black men. Some of them were authors, some of them were interviewers like myself, poets. Her dad is a jazz musician, an internationally known jazz musician. And she took all these people together, and she actually had them either write stories, essays. One of the authors, his name is Jihad. He's a national best-selling author also. He actually submitted letters that he wrote to some of the younger people in prison, you know, to kind of give them inspiration. But the gist of the book is called The Soul of a Man, and she asked, like, what are some of the things that lies in the soul of black men? What are some of the things that we don't see of you guys in the media and stuff like that that goes on in your everyday life? And she wanted us to write from that perspective. And she wanted to keep it, you know, positive and not raunchy or anything like that. So it had, you know, it was Christian. It was for the Christian market. It was supposed to be an inspirational type book. I wrote a story in there called Like Father, Like Son. And basically it was a book about a stepfather and his ordeal with dealing with his wife, you know, loving his wife, but then also trying to keep a 16-year-old son in line who was starting to become more criminalistic, you know, starting to get off the path in terms of doing stuff that's positive for the community. And in writing that story, it gave me an opportunity to, like, in some senses, explore new characters, explore different things. And that short story is very, very informative. A lot of people liked it because it was like it's one of the first times they've actually had to see the stepfather's side in what goes on in a family that's somewhat dysfunctional. And you know, you got the mother who's, you know, her baby is her baby. She's going to always protect her child, even if sometimes the child might be wrong. She'll still make sure that nobody else. You know, I can whoop them, but you can't. You know, that type thing. And so, the stepfather, he respects that, but he also knows that him being a black man in America, he knows the trials and tribulations. He knows the reality of racism, the reality of economic inequality, educational inequality, and stuff like that. And he wants to be not only be an example for his stepson, but he also wants to be a guide for him. And he's trying to keep him from doing that stuff. But he also is like, I'm not a pushover either. I'm not a punk, you know what I'm saying? I don't want either one of you guys to think that everything that he does is fine and you can just get over on me, you know? And so the book, that my short story in there is actually, you know, about the trials and tribulations that he goes through when he's trying to show his wife respect and also show the son respect. And it seems like that he's just caught in the middle of a whirlwind, you know? And a lot, like I said, a lot of female readers were like, now I better understand my boyfriend, or I better understand my husband in dealing with my child as his stepchild, because there's certain things that I won't allow to happen, or I will support in my child that he doesn't. And I never really understood, like, why he would get quiet. I never really understood why he would say things a certain way. But after reading your story, it makes more sense. So that book is called The Soul of a Man. If you search for The Soul of a Man on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You'll find that book. It's a blue cover with a man on it on the front. It's got everybody's names on it. That's one book. It's a great book. Also, the other stuff, the other authors that contributed, I mean, it's very inspirational stuff in there. Like one man writes about his he writes from the standpoint of Adam, where art thou? You know, like where are the black men that are supposed to be leaders of their family, leaders of their community, leaders, you know, period. You know, like where have you guys gone? You know, what are you guys doing, and what are you going to do to regain your leadership status, your leader status in your family, in your community, in your church? So he writes about that. There's a lot of different short stories that are extremely interested in that. Also, I'm featured in a Kindle short story competition. MyQuestionOfTheDay.com actually held a Kindle competition where they had people enter in their stories in the top 10 by popular vote, went on to the next stage, and then she had some judges anonymously rank the stories in, you know, from 1 to 10. And I ended up winning that, too. So I'm not only am I in the anthology that came out of that, I also won the Kindle that I use to read and do book reviews. Actually won that from that. That's also on Amazon. So if you, I think you search for my name and it'll come up, you know, on Amazon. And
on Amazon?
On Amazon.com. Now, my most recent book is that I'm in. I haven't published my own novel yet. That's what I'm working on. But another book that I'm in is the Gumbo for the latest latest edition of Gumbo for the Soul.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in that one. It's called the theme for this particular book is Men of Valor.
Okay.
And I write about my grandfather. My grandfather on my dad's side, he just had to go to Mississippi during the summers. And, you know, for the most part, I liked it. But you know how it is. After, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but, you know, when you go to go out of town for the summer, you go hang out with family, whether grandparents or cousins or an aunt or something like that, it's a it's a time span that you can tolerate being there, and it's all cool. And then it's just that one day where you just be like, it's time for me to go back home.
Right.
I'm ready to get back in my room, my bed,
right.
Watch my TV, ride my bike around my neighborhood. I love it here. I love the country. Actually, I really did enjoy it, but it was only a certain amount of time I could be there. And I'm just like, can somebody come pick me up?
Right.
And the thing about me being so ready to leave was my grandfather, I didn't know that he actually died like a couple of days after I actually begged my dad to let me, you know, take me back home. But before he died, he actually, we had no idea that he was about to pass. And one day he actually took me, we was talking and stuff, and he actually took me aside, and he was like telling me some real serious life stuff. It was way over my head. I think I was like 12 or 13 or something like that. So I was thinking about like whatever girl I was in love with then, or riding to the corner store and all that kind of stuff. You know, and they like I'm in the middle of Mississippi, but at the time, you know, my parents lived in Memphis, so I'm like hundreds of miles away, and I'm just like my brain isn't here right now. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it's two things. One, I'm not mature enough to actually fully digest this information. And two, I'm ready to go, you know. But I did respect him, so I sat down and I listened to him, and he was really giving me some life jewels that I took with me today. And the stuff he was telling me then, I really didn't get the full effect until years later after I made tons of mistakes and I came into my maturity and I went through certain life things, not necessarily bad stuff, but just, you know, stuff with friends that end up not being friends or situations that could have been handled differently. You know, you just got a hot head, short fuse, and so you just say the first thing that comes to your mind as opposed to sitting back and looking at it for what it is and allowing it to pass as opposed to you trying to make it pass. You know, little stuff like that when you're immature. It took me like maybe about 20 years to actually fully understand what I was actually getting, you know.
What's
there with
the name
me.
Of it?
The book is called it's called Gumbo for the Soul.
Okay.
And it's, the publisher name is Beverly Johnson. I think it comes out January 12th. So it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. And I'm about to actually put some links up on my website. I haven't done so yet. It's one of my future projects. So I'm actually put links up to those books I'm mentioning. So you'll be able to see that stuff on joeypinger.com shortly. But yeah, I mean, but it's you know, that's my contribution. But there's other contributions in there that talks about the value of men in your life, you know, from different aspects. Not everybody's like getting that life story right before their grandparent died. You know, some people actually, you know, have other men in their lives that are, have been a continual inspiration to them. And, I've been afforded these opportunities, man, and it's been great. You know, another book that I'm in is it's called I Am Royalty, Profiles in Black History, Volume 3. I'm actually in that where I talk about some of the stuff I'm talking to you about, you know. And to find those books, you can just search Joey Pinkney on Amazon. You can find the books that way. But
now,
book,
are these also linked, are these cataloged on your website as well, or is it better to just search it on Amazon?
They're not cataloged yet. That's actually a future project. So within the next couple of days, definitely by next Monday, they're going to actually be on my website also. But
so
as of right now,
what's the name of it again?
Which one?
The last
one I just
said.
It's called I am Royalty, Profiles in Black History, Volume 3.
Well, there you have it, listeners. We got I Am Royalty. We have Like Father, Like Son. We have Gumbo for the Soul. Is that correct?
Gumbo for the Soul, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Like Father, Like Son is a short story that's in The Soul of a Man.
Okay.
And also,
then we have
One last book I'd like to mention.
Go ahead.
One last book I want to mention, because this is actually the most interesting one, is this is a book called Psycho. Psychopath, yeah. By an author named Mickey Starr Martin. And the cool thing about this book is I actually am a character in the book.
Wow.
Yeah, like when she wrote a book, from the perspective of, she took like characters from some of the female authors that have inspired her to write.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes the book, the main character is a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
That some kind of way is channeling these other characters and giving them psychological advice. You know, she's their psychologist, and some kind of way she's slid me into the story. You know, so I'm actually a character in
the
book also. No, I'm not the psycho. I don't do anything like that. No, I'm doing a cameo. That's the coolest thing. I'm doing a cameo in a book. How you like that?
Just teasing you.
Yeah, I love it. So I want to give her a shout out, Mickey Starr Martin. If you search Joey Pinkney on Amazon, you'll come across most of those books I just mentioned. And you know, buy them, support the author, support me. You know, a lot of these books are really not that expensive. Like the Kindle Competition book, my short story was actually short story called Maxine, and there's another stepfather type thing, where the mother was having a hard time getting her daughter educated. You know, she really didn't understand how to approach her daughter's learning styles and ability to learn. You know, not everybody learns the same. Some people, you can just hand them a book and they can get the information. Other people, you actually have to read to them.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, you have to kind of say, all right, so you see this over here. Do you remember when your cousin fell off the blah, blah, blah? But that's what this is. It's like, you know, some people like need examples. So she couldn't really figure out what fit her daughter, and for the longest time, you know, her daughter was failing in school and stuff like that. And so she marries her husband, and the daughter didn't like her husband at first, you know, typical of a stepchild. It's like, you're not about to move in here and mess up our family thing. But he stuck with it. He was real patient with it because he kind of knew, like, you know, you can actually do school. You're just not – the teachers are not coming to you and making you do school properly. And so she ends up going from being an F student to an all-A student. And, you know, the mother's all in tears, like, you know, my baby's actually learning this stuff. My baby's, you know, and she's like, I just thank you for being patient with me. So that short story is called Maxine, and that's in the My Question of the Day short story Kindle competition book. But you can find it on Amazon, too. There's a lot of interesting stuff out there.
Good to know. That is good to know. Well, listeners, you have it, Mr. Joey Pinkney. He's given us a lot of information. Again, I would personally like to thank you. I'm just excited to go and read what else you have to offer. And, you know, Tiffany is a writer as well. And so, you know, it's good to know that we have a forum and a voice for us to, you know, represent us. So, again, we want everybody to go to joeypinkney.com and also to Amazon and look up these, you know, these wonderful books or stories. And also, you know, follow him on Twitter. Follow him, you know, on Facebook and help support some of the authors that he is featuring and get, you know, try to get out here and find out, you know, what else there is for us to listen to and to read. Because some of the things that you have shared with us have just been awesome. Some of the stories you've told us, some of the books that you've shared, and some of the authors that you've featured, you know, have piqued my interest. So, again, I would like to thank you so much for that.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this show.
Absolutely. No, Tiffany?
I will be following you. I always follow you anyway and favorite a lot of your tweets and retweet. But, yeah, you are.
Hey,
really
I appreciate
cool.
it.
I just Googled your name, and it's like, okay, I'm on, like, the fourth page, and it's just, they just still coming. They just still coming. So I know I'll be going back through that to check out some of the sites that are not that popular, like Facebook and Twitter, but do the same thing, you know, where it's social media and it's more exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of name sites that are still relevant to authors, you know, in terms of, like, the business aspect of it that if you Google my name, you'll come across some of those also. I'm still somewhat active in those also.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, it was awesome having you with us, and we will look forward to having you again in the future. I know you're going to be doing some real big things, so we're definitely going to keep in contact. Mario's under the weather, but he's on chat, but he's really enjoying the show. As well. And we just want to thank you again here at Black Writer Space. And,
thank you very much.
We look forward to having you back.
I was just about to say that whenever you want me to come back, please do. I'll be more than happy to.
I definitely will. And just so you guys know, I just tweeted him last night, and he was like, sure. So I love that. I love that. So thank you again, and please enjoy the rest of your evening.
Absolutely. Okay, bye-bye.
We are going to go to break, but we'll be right back.
Hey, love. You say you need somebody to be there for you, to love you all day long. It's kind of funny, but I don't think you have to look no further.
Tell me what kind of man would treat his woman so cold. Treat you like you're nothing when you're worth more than gold. Girl, to me you're like a diamond. I love the way you shine. $100 million treasure I'd give the world to make you mine. Right in your hand, make love on a beach of jet black sand. Out right in the rain, we can do it all night. I'll touch all the places he was not, and from he never knew it gets you hot. Nothing is forbidden when we touch.
are back. Wow. Really, 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 really great show.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
Was. Mario, you there? No, maybe he's not. He was on chat. Oh, okay.
I'm here. I'm trying to stay out the hallway.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that he's amazing. Like, the things that he's doing, the creativity that he has, that's crazy. Like, and he's very, the way he presents himself, you know, mm-hmm. it's like he can go on and not miss a beat and get all the information out. So the listeners, and for those who may miss the show, who goes back and listens to the show, they can catch up to whatever you were saying. I mean, he's great, you know. I'm actually reading a lot of his stuff right now.
Right.
Sorry that my voice is all crazy, but I was reading some of the stuff that he was revealing of just his different projects, and it's like, dude, I want to be like you in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so hopefully if, in the future we can sit down and talk a little bit more. So that's all I got. I just want to say,
you
did an awesome job,
and I
appreciate it. And I want you to do it some more with us, you know. And Tiffany, you already know you do a good job, even though you threw me under the bus yesterday. That's why I'm sick. But I just want to say y'all did a good job, and I'm going to get out of here. You know, I'm not feeling too good. So keep up the good work, and we'll talk later.
All right. Hope you feel better.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am looking at his Twitter right now, and he has 39,000 followers.
Wow. Well, it's going to be 39,001 when I add him.
Right, and then he's following 39,000. Now, see, they kill me with this with Twitter. Now, see, I feel good now because I have like 1,800 people following me. Then I'm following like 2,000, and you're not supposed to be following as many people that follow you and all that. Now, I see his is just about even. Okay, cool. Okay. And then his tweet 41,000. It's just some old rule they made up. I don't understand what the importance is, but. Now I feel good. He's following just as many people that's following him. Cool. Yeah. Okay. today's show, I really, really, really enjoyed him. Like I said today, we always have awesome guests. Like every single rip, it does not fail. God is good. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And he didn't miss a beat. I mean, like Mario said, the way he presented himself, the way he presented the information, you know, he made me excited about what he was doing. You know, he makes you want to be a part of it, you know. And one thing that we always, I'm included, but you all always ask, and what we didn't get a chance to ask him was, what can Black Writer Space do to help you, you know, further your cause? And, you know, I just think that, you know, even without asking, he put it out there. You know, I'm going to have my book out on the 12th, and, you know, follow me on Twitter, and, you know, look at these things on Amazon. So even without asking, you know, and I look forward to meeting him and, you know, just promoting everything that he does. So he seems to be a good person, and I'm inspired by what he said.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to be going on, and I've been to his website, but I'm going to look up some of the books that he was talking about on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I Googled him. It was like, man, it was just coming and coming and coming. When he said he has all these different sites and he does this consistently, he is not lying.
Yeah, I Googled him, too. And it was like four or five pages of just different things that he's done, and you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's actually more than that. I just stopped at four. But yeah, that's awesome. Going to also be having the healthcare corner.
Absolutely.
What's going to be the next topic for that?
The next topic for that is going to be high blood pressure. You know, a lot of times people have high blood pressure, they don't even know it. You know, it's the silent killer, especially as African Americans. Or even any minority group, you know, we have a higher incidence based off of things that we eat and different things like that. So for our listeners, if you have any questions that you would like answered prior to, if you could please email those questions to blackwriterspace.com, we would appreciate it. Is that where you wanted to go, Tiffany?
Yes.
Okay, to blackwriterspace.com. And
no,
so we
no.
Can, no?
It's black space. No, it's not. I have the domain, but it's not quite set up. We
okay.
have a new coming for the magazine, so that'll be used for that. But we do have we have our blog. Our blog is blackwriterspace.blogspot.com. Also, we have our networking site, which has been up since 2006. We have about 300 people on there. You can go on there. That's a link site. You can go on there, create your own profile and all of that while it's still free, because it will not be free after March. It
okay.
will be attached along to that network after that. But that website is blackwriterspace with two S's. .ning.com. And then you can always email us at blackwriterspace@gmail.com. And then we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on what else am I on? Twitter.
Well,
Facebook.
pick one so we can get all the questions at one spot. Would you like to go to the Gmail account? You think that'll be easier?
The Gmail, that's the only email we have. Is the Gmail. The
okay,
the Black
so
Writer
is that where you want questions to go?
.com. Wow.
Okay. So any questions that we have, you guys have, you know, for me, please feel free to send them, and I will answer any questions that you have, but that's going to be our next topic. And when are we going to do that, Tiff?
The next show will be Monday.
Okay.
We will not be having a show tomorrow.
Okay. So Monday we'll address those questions, so that gives you the entire weekend. You know, we all know someone that has high blood pressure or suffers from high blood pressure, and there may be some questions that we, you know, want to address. So please feel free to send those questions in. Again, we had a wonderful, 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 wonderful guest tonight, Joy Pinkney. I appreciate all the information that was given, Tiffany. That was a wonderful catch and a wonderful find. Mario, I hope you feel better. I just want to thank both of you all for allowing me to come on, and I just had a blast, a blast, a blast. Tiffany?
Okay. I thank everyone for listening, and have a good evening, and we will see you guys back on Monday at 7 p.m. Thank you.
Absolutely. Good night.
Got a lot of things I need to explain, but baby, you know the name, and love is about pain, so stop the complaint, drop the order of restraint. Our sex life's a game, so back me down in the paint. I can't wait no more, cause it's about a quarter past three. free and sure they desire me. I got the Bentley Ballet, and I'm just outside of Jersey, past the Palisades, and I love to see that in boots and shades. Throw down on the bed while I'm yanking your braids. Thug style, you never thought I'd make you smile while I'm smacking your ass and you're all wild. We share something so rare, but who cares? You can, baby.
I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time, and I gave you my all. Now, baby, be mine. I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time, and I gave you my all. Now, baby, be
girl,
mine.
Get a grip, come on, pull it together. It's only a sun shower. We've been through worse weather like that. On me like you wrote a dead job letter and took my Benz and keyed and cut the leather. You know better. She's an M.O.B. Money over murder, I.N.C. I got two or three for every V, and I keep you drugged up off that. I'm a playground legend like Kirkland Pee-wee. They must in the league got more game than me. I play harder. So many women I bothered. Meet them with scars and sit them home hot and bothered. Truth to dare, this life ain't apparently fair. And a love with no glare is a crystal stare. But we share something so rare. But who cares? You can, baby.
I'm not always there when you call, but I'm
Bombers, boo, in the coldest weather. And when I play, you play the same way. You freak me, baby. I f*** you crazy, then I'm gone. Baby, don't really want me to get up and leave. What's that easy? Should be waking up wet for she's day. Remind me, it's a mind dependent. Believe me, this pimp game is very religious. And I'm built like a John Bishop. Gold deep dish, money green bins. And my f*** is my witness. The life you share is a thug affair. But who cares? You care, baby.
Here at WIZ, we play nothing but the hits. Nothing but the hits. Nothing but the motherfucking hits.